Hello and welcome to season four, episode two of the Emotional Autoimmunity Podcast. I am your host, Kerry Jeffrey, and I help people all around the world deal with find practical solutions to the often complex emotional issues of living with chronic illness. And I know exactly what that is like because I live with four autoimmune conditions myself. And if I'm sounding a little bit croaky in this episode, it's because as of last week I developed COVID for the first time, and I'm still recovering from the symptoms of that. And as you know, if you're living with chronic illness, then when you have external viruses and things like that, it can add a whole lot of extra areas of difficulty to your normal life with chronic illness, and also limit things like your energy and your ability to do things. So, for example, I did have to have last week off work for practical and health considerations, really. The first one being that the biggest impact it had on me was a really dry, irritated throat, and any amount of talking set me off into great big coughing fits. And so, basically, as an online coach and therapist, if I can't talk without coughing, especially if I need to do hypnotherapy with my clients, well, then it's not going to be a very effective session. So yes, there has been quite a few times, as in my working life as a coach and a therapist, that I have had to cancel work or periods of time when I've simply been unable to work due to the physical issues that have come along with chronic illness and recovery from hospitalization, new diagnoses, health crisis, and things like that. I am going to be sipping on my tea throughout this, so if you hear that, my apologies, but it is one of the most effective ways of managing my ongoing COVID symptoms at the moment. And I'm actually in the process of resting right now while I'm doing this. One of the forms of rest that I employ is time for creativity. And so I find that doing things like recording podcasts when I'm able to, because they're not really topics that I systematically plan out ahead. I have an idea of what I'm going to be talking about, and then it's just going to be trusting myself and the skills and knowledge that I have that the information is going to flow out. So I do find when I'm in the flow of that, it is quite meditative, this process. The things that I share, the things that I talk about, and I do find it relaxing in a way, than it's the actual podcast production. All the things I've got to do for that is the work involved. But generally, the recording of the podcast is an enjoyable and even relaxing process. So the topic for today in this episode is rest and guilt. And this is building on episode one that was out a couple of weeks ago, where I talked about energy management with chronic illness and the different phases of energy management and what that looks like for me and what it looks like for a lot of people. And one of the biggest barriers that I found both in myself initially and in my clients is the difficulty of giving yourself permission to rest, or finding yourself in a position where you feel, in a sense, that you're forced to rest, but the rest is made unproductive because of your feelings of guilt or shame or anxiety about being in a position where you physically need to rest. And Rest in general, as a topic, even for people without chronic illness, does bring up a lot of guilt and anxiety because in our Western cultures, then we're very focused that your worth and value as a person is determined by your productivity. So, what you do rather than who you are. Or your state of being. Being isn't valued. We're focused on the task, we're focused on getting things done, we're focused on ticking things off a list. We are valuing ourselves and others in this very competitive kind of working and professional environment we can often find ourselves in by our ability to produce and not only to produce and get things done, but to be seen to be productive, to be seen to achieving things, to be seen to achieving milestones. And if you think about it, that really starts back in childhood, right? There is such a thing. I know when I was going through it as the cult of the competitive mother, where our children could become like this competition process as to, when this one hit this developmental milestone and oh, my son was walking by 7 months old and, so much fear that was in mothers about, and I know in myself about, was my child meeting the expectations and what did it mean that they were 12 months old and still not walking when little Johnny down the street was, walking at 9 months old. And there's so much fear in our lives about everything and whether we're doing things right and whether we're doing things on schedule. So it's really no surprise when it comes to rest that this can be a really problematic issue for us because our societies are not built on that concept. It's this kind of Puritan ethic of getting things done, being busy, being productive, no pain, no gain, achieving everything kind of in the future based. Like I'll be successful when I achieve that. And so our measure of actual success and what it means to have a successful life and to be a successful person can be very much based on how we feel that we're perceived in terms of what we've done rather than who we are and how we're living our lives. And with so much emphasis on being busy and being productive, then that equals that you have worth and value. And I know in myself, with my experience of chronic illness and many of my clients, that once you become chronically ill and say you're in active recovery mode, so you're in a crisis health situation at the moment, maybe you're bed bound, maybe you're very limited in what you can do. That a lot of people feel like they've lost their sense of self and that they no longer have any worth or value because they feel like they can no longer do things for people. They can no longer be productive, that they can no longer contribute or health or help other people. So rest and guilt is a real minefield because rest is sort of seen as something that you need to earn. And in order to earn your rest, then you need to strive and you need to be seen to be working hard, to be doing as much as you can, to be expending a whole lot of effort, to be working long hours and doing a lot and being productive. And I know so many people that have racked up, huge amounts of either annual leave or holiday or vacation time that they don't use. There's often workplace culture things that contribute to that people need to be in early and staying late and sacrificing all of their time, giving all of their time to the company, to the work. There's often the financial reality of having to work, two or three jobs just to make ends meet and to keep going. And so rest is not something that traditionally is valued at all. And we can even use statements like, I'll sleep when I'm dead and things like that. So rest often becomes a future-based reward that you never really quite achieve, because you might feel like you have to earn it by doing things. So when I get those things done, then I'll rest. When I finish my degree, then I'll rest. When I'm in a relationship, then I'll rest and celebrate. So rest tends to be something that we feel that we need to earn. We need to be seen to be deserving it, right? Really show everybody how hard we're working so that when we do rest, then nobody's going to be judging you for being lazy, right? So that rest is a reward then, and we can celebrate that and settle down to rest. And especially I find as women that rest is something that's seen as being selfish, because being as a woman, being selfish is one of the worst things. Lazy and selfish are the two worst things that you can be accused of. And when I tease out what are the issues that are stopping my clients from getting the rest that they now need with the limitations imposed by the chronic illness, this is where we hit those issues. And this is where the guilt really kicks in. Because one, you get chronic illness, generally for the first time in your life, unless you've experienced like physical injury or some form of illness where, you simply were not able to do things. So you needed hospitalization or maybe surgery, or everybody understood that you had a temporary issue that you needed recovery time for. But then after that, the expectation was that you would get back to normal and you would do everything that you could, right? Everything that you did before. Well, what happens with chronic illness is you get this ongoing and often incurable illness that limits your ability to do things. So one of the hallmarks of chronic illness is that it limits energy. So you are physically, mentally, like emotionally and cognitively, with things like brain fog, not able to be productive and get things done to the level that you could before because of the illness. And then because we have so little understanding of that chronic illness is ongoing, we're not going to get like better. And what I mean by better means like back to the way, exactly back to the way that you were before, so that you'll no longer have any symptoms or no longer having any issues from the chronic illness. But that's the pressure, that's the expectation. You can feel everybody is waiting for you to get better so that you can do the things that you did before. And so you can feel like in this process that you've lost your identity, you've lost your worth, you've lost your value as a person, as a friend, as a parent, as an employee, as a partner, because you cannot any longer do the things that you did before. And at the same time, everybody's waiting for you to get better so that you can do those things. So there's this real denial kind of on both sides of the actual practical reality of what chronic illness is and any limitations and changes that you might be dealing with, whether it's physically, mentally, cognitively, or any of those other things. And when you don't have the energy to do things, and there's the expectation, right? Because when we have chronic illness, all the responsibilities of life don't go away, they're still there, right? So for me, if I'm not working and I'm not getting new clients coming in, and then I'm not making any income, and I'm not going to be able to pay my rent, I'm not going to be able to pay my bills, I'm not going to be able to pay for my medication and things. So I need a certain level of health and energy in order to keep working as a coach and therapist and running my business, because that's how I survive. But there are also limitations to that. So as somebody living with chronic illness, I can no longer do a full workload. I can only work part-time. So there's a whole lot of very real differences in our lives in so many areas that we've got to deal with and adapt to. But with everybody else having the expectation that you'll get better and you'll be able to do everything that you could do before. And one of the major components of guilt is that you can feel like you're letting people down by resting and not doing things. And that can be a real barrier to you getting the rest that you need. Because if you think about rest in terms of what your life is like right now and the reality of the changes that have happened. So for my reality, because of the illnesses that I deal with, so I need to be, as someone living with type 1 diabetes now, that my blood sugar, managing my blood sugar levels, making sure that I have enough insulin in my system to keep my blood sugar levels as stable and normal as I possibly can, always needing to be aware of where they are. Having the other autoimmune conditions means that I always need to have food available for me. So I have a very different set of priorities now, and I have a limited amount of energy to do all of those things and still work, still be a parent, still manage my household, still pay my bills, still do all of those things. So my priorities are very different. And if you want to know a bit more about that, then definitely go back and listen to episode one, because I talk about what my energy and managing my energy priorities are in that. But in terms of initially coming to accept the fact that I now need a lot of physical rest, that was a very difficult thing to accept for me, because like you, I very much valued my ability to produce and do things, and that it was important to be continuously busy. And there is always so much that needs to be done, especially, when you're running your own business, especially when you're a single parent, especially when you've got a lot of responsibilities. And it really doesn't matter what your situation is, there is always more that needs to be done. And there is something intrinsically satisfying in getting things done. It feels rewarding. It feels like you're accomplishing something. It's something that you can pat your back, self pat yourself on the back for doing. But it's when you're resting, it's not like people are coming up and patting you on the back for resting. They're waiting to see how long you're going to rest for and then get back to doing what you're doing. And that's why our inbuilt rest periods, which is normally, things like maybe the weekend or maybe an annual vacation, the rest is something that you've had to already earn. And it has a start and end date, and then you're going to be back to the constant busyness, rush, rush, rush of life as it was before. So it was a real identity crisis for me to come to the realization that My body and myself and my mind require a lot of inbuilt rest. And if I was feeling guilty about that rest because of all the other things that I should be doing, all the other things that needed to be done, then that rest was going to be very unproductive. And this might be something that you found for yourself as well, because if you've made the tough choice and come to the realization that you need to physically rest, and you give yourself that time to rest, but it's kind of grudging, it's kind of a necessity. You know that if you don't do it, then you're going to be worse tomorrow. You'll have less energy, less resources to do the things that you're going to do. And if you're sitting there feeling guilty and anxious the whole time that you're resting, then it's not going to be productive rest because, yep, your body might get some physical rest, but it's not going to be able to get the kind of rest that it really needs because, in order for rest to be productive, rest is something that you willingly embrace without guilt and without anxiety. And so, what that means is getting to the place where, one, you've accepted the fact that you need a lot more physical rest than you did before. You've taken responsibility for that rest. And you now see it as part of your practical, responsible, chronic illness management strategy. Because that's the reality of what it is. And that's how I now see it. That if you have chronic illness and you know that you require more rest than you did before, and you know that by giving, fully aligning with that, embracing that rest, building it in, that it becomes an essential to you, then you are going to get all of the available benefits of that rest time without the crushing guilt, without the anxiety of all the things that are being left undone. It's a trade-off, but it's a trade-off that's centering you in your full ability to, as much as possible, responsibly manage your health and your energy. Because when you do that, then you're going to be more available to do the things that feel productive for you. So without the rest that you need, then you can't live the best possible life that's available to you. And I think as people living with chronic illness, that's what we are most wanting, is to have the best quality of life that we can have, regardless of the issues that we deal with. We want to be as present and available to any of the good that's in our life as we possibly can. So we want to be as pain-free as possible. We want to have as much energy as we can have. We want to have as much stability and predictability in our daily lives as we can. And so the biggest barrier to rest is getting caught up in that fear of judgment of what other people are thinking about you, of how other people are, either how you're letting other people down or how other people are looking at you and saying, well, you're lazy, you're not trying hard enough, you're not doing enough, so you're being slack, so you're not being disciplined. And sometimes they can judge you as having a moral failing as well. And they base this interesting story on their own belief that if they were you, of course they would be better by now. Of course they would be doing more. Of course they wouldn't be needing all of this rest because they just can't conceive of what chronic illness is like. But if you're going to let other people, what other people think of you, define you and control you, then you're going to stay their prisoner. And as I said before, if what you want is to be as available to the good in your life, to have the best quality of life that you need and that you can have, that's possible for you, then really centering yourself in that quality of life by that becoming a priority, then what they think of you is simply not your business. Because one, if you're waiting for them to understand, they are never going to understand. They are never going to approve of it. They're just not going to get it. And two, you don't need their permission to rest, because rest is responsible chronic illness management. And when it benefits you, it benefits everybody else in your life, because they're getting the flow on effect of that. And it comes down to the ongoing process of acceptance. Because with chronic illness, there are going to be many, many things in your life that you were able to do before that you're not going to be able to do now, or you're not going to be able to do to the extent that you could before the chronic illness. And this is the grief part that people don't get about how aware you are always being of how much your life has changed. But if we get back to centering all of this on yourself for what's going to be most beneficial to you, and I know this has happened to me many, many times early on, like I know, especially in my environment, there is a certain level of mess that when it gets past that, it does have an impact on my mental and emotional health. So I had to come to terms with that there were things that were going to be left undone because I simply could not do them. There was no pushing through to get things done. The understanding that pushing through to get things done was ultimately detrimental to me and was having a huge rebound, negative rebound effect on my life. It was making me worse, which meant it was limiting my ability to do anything. And so that was the opposite of what I wanted. So it was being able in those moments to accept and be okay without anxiety and guilt that those things would remain undone. And what most helped me come to that acceptance was understanding that right now, what I need to do for me is the most important priority that I have. Because if I'm not giving myself that time that I need, that my body needs in order to rest and actively recover, guilt-free and stress-free, to go through that ongoing difficult acceptance process, that's the pathway to me getting where I want to be, which is living the best quality of life that I have, so the most available energy, so that I can do the things not only that I enjoy doing, but that I want to do, that I need to do as part of me living my life and doing what I need to do. So it's letting go of other people's inability to understand. It's letting go of the fear of being judged as lazy, unproductive, not trying hard enough, not doing enough, all of those judgments, letting go of that because they don't get it and they're never going to get it. And you accepting and embracing that rest is taking responsibility for managing the reality of your life with chronic illness. It is being a responsible person. It is doing the right thing, and it is productive. And if you need that extra time to rest, then you want it to be as productive as it possibly can be for you so that you can get the full benefits from that rest. So there are different types of rest. For myself, there is definitely physical rest. My body does need a lot of physical rest, and what that means for me is actually sitting, and engaging in something that I enjoy, whether that's reading, whether it's scrolling social media, as long as there's no doom scrolling or anxiety involved in that. It might be creating, so doing some art and doing a hobby. It might be getting some physical and mental rest by listening to things like nature sounds. For example, I really like to listen to slow ocean waves, like have that on in the background, and then I can just sit there, close my eyes, and just listen to that. I find it really restful and really relaxing to my body and my mind. So there's the physical rest. There's also emotional rest, especially with the work that I do, dealing with people, other people that are in physical pain, emotional pain, have a lot of difficult issues. Being able to step away from that, having my nice clear boundaries about what's mine and what's not. But what can often happen with when you have chronic illness is that our natural tendency to want to manage the world and take care of the world, we also then become aware of the impact that we think our illness is having on other people and how it's causing them to suffer. So emotional rest can involve stepping away from those stories about how other people are affected by your illness, because there is a lot of guilt involved in that and a lot of anxiety involved in that. It can also mean stepping away from emotionally draining situations and emotionally draining people. Like, unless you have the actual energy to engage with the drama, don't engage with the drama. Give yourself a rest from it. Ultimately, it is not your responsibility to fix anyone because you can't. I can tell you that from experience. I do not fix anybody. Nobody can fix anybody, right? There are certainly ways that you can help people, but again, you need the health and the energy to do that. So emotional rest is stepping away from the drama, from doom scrolling, from just giving yourself some time out from all of the difficult things that are going on in the world, all the difficult things that are going on in relationships around you, all the things over which ultimately you have no control. And then there's also sensory rest. So one of the ways that I've been giving myself sensory rest now that I live on my own again, after 35 years of active parenting, is at night I don't like to have the lights on, but I love candlelight, and I love candles. So I have lots of candles, lots of candle holders, lots of pretty tea light holders and things like that. And so I've got them set up now that As evening comes and dusk is setting in, then I go around and I light all my little candles, and it's just so restful to my soul. The candlelight, the beauty of the tea light holders, how pretty and magical everything looks. I mean, that is a form of really deep emotional rest and relaxation that I find, because a large part of rest is the pleasure of the rest, being fully available to the rest. And that can be a really simple emotional moment of rest, can be simply going to a window and looking outside and being fully present to rest in the beauty of nature that you see outside, like to be really present with the clouds or the trees, or to tune in to the sounds that are out there, just to be present to it. That is a form of rest, because rest really needs you to be living in the present moment. And rest, like true rest, is something that feels comforting or feels inspiring and feels nurturing and soothing. And so this is what I'm talking about when I'm talking about productive rest. So really productive rest means embracing it 100%, accepting it, allowing it for yourself, knowing you are worthy. You do deserve this rest, that it is something that is ultimately means you are being responsible. You are responsibly resting, which is great chronic illness management. And then the more you can do that, the more productive and present it's going to allow you to be. So, to sum up, one of the reasons, the main reasons why people find rest so challenging is one, the fear of judgment, right? And two, the feeling of guilt because you're not being productive. So, you're judging yourself, you're criticizing yourself. You're probably shoulding yourself. So I should be more, do more, try harder. It's a constant criticism. And it's also a lack of acceptance, right? It's resisting the idea of the reality of where you are right now and believing that you should be able to do more than you are actually physically capable of doing right now. So I hope this has made a bit of a difference to you in your struggle to, or any guilt or anxiety about resting. I do want you to know that resting is, it is taking responsibility for your illness. It doesn't matter how anybody else sees that, because they're not going to understand. They will never understand. But what you're going to show them by taking responsibility for resting and embracing it, guilt-free, anxiety-free, is they're going to see you get the benefit of that. They're going to see that regardless of what they think, it is going to allow you to live your best quality of life. And like I said, ultimately, what anybody else thinks of you is none of your business. You know what you're dealing with. You know what your symptoms are. You know the unpredictability of your energy and life and all of the challenges that you have, the pain that you deal with, the things you're going through, and most importantly, the loss that you've experienced because of how much your life has changed. And I want you to know that's absolutely valid. I want you to know that I absolutely believe you. I know everything that you're experiencing is true and real and valid. And what anybody else thinks has got nothing to do with you. Rest is taking adult, intelligent, responsible management of the chronic illness that you live with. And please don't let anybody tell you anything differently. I hope this has been useful for you. Please know if you're interested in working with me, you can get yourself a free online discovery session with me. There is actually a link at the bottom of this podcast that you can do that. Or you can head over to my website at emotionalautoimmunity.com, sign up to join my wonderful email community, and there are lots of free and very helpful resources that are going to be coming your way as soon as you respond to the confirmation email. And I'll be back with you in a couple of weeks, hopefully completely COVID symptom free. So for now, I'll speak to you then. Bye for now.